Broadcasting live. Good evening, Blockhead Nation. Thank you for stopping by once again. A little bit later tonight. Apologize for the delay since we made a quick stop at the ice cream shop. You are listening to your favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. I am your host. My name is Brian Little. Meaning that we took a quick step, in case you are familiar with Cold Stone Creamery, what we have not far away from the Blockhead Mansion is the equivalent to that, or some would say that Cold Stone's better, so would I, but Marble Slab is not bad as an alternative. So we were there earlier and just finally getting a chance to sit down and record. Glad to be with you tonight. As far as one more thing I want to mention before I get into the content, my dear friend, Mr. Zach Sanders. If you don't already know, Zach Sanders of Zach Sanders Music is a huge friend to the Your Favorite Blockhead podcast. I support his career in every way. He is the greatest jazz saxophonist I have ever heard, and he has a new release out called Fine Wine. You will be able to find the YouTube version of that. There will be a link for it in the blog today at yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. Go check out his YouTube page. Click the links, like and subscribe, and follow this young man as he has got great things on the horizon for him. So shout out to Zach Sanders. Always proud to support his career and support his music. Now, as far as the first time that we ever saw Snoopy, to the time that the comic strip ended in 2000, there's always been two sides to Snoopy that I just never have talked about enough on this show. One of them is his innocence. And this is actually coming from a quote from Charles Schulz. I'm going to exaggerate a little bit, but he did say something about there's an innocence and an egotism to Snoopy that you won't find in any other character that's in the Peanuts. And he's absolutely right about that. As in, he will win you over. And he is considered the cutest of the cute when it comes to the characters. Maybe Woodstock might go into a battle with him on that one. But, you know, Wife B doesn't do cute very well. But when it comes to egotism, this guy, since he's so interchangeable and he's so comfortable at the Charlie Brown Mansion, that he is left alone to his thoughts to be able to put them to a typewriter. And it just makes sense that both of these worlds would happen. Just like you're looking to listen to a podcast that talks about Peanuts and MMA in the same show, it seems like that's an absurd idea. Well, I'm not the first one to ever decide to take two things that are as far as east from the west and put them together. I think there was a New York Times bestseller called Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. What working on a motorcycle has to do with being zenful is beyond me, but the author explains it very well. And in many ways, Snoopy's personality is two glaring contrasts. If you think about it, he's so innocent, yet he's not as loyal as you'd think. I mean, he is very independent. He is very self-driven. There's not a role that he can't play, from the masked Marvel to the Great Pumpkin, hint, hint, and to the World War I flying ace. I mean, it's just how you go walk into a closet and you go, man, what Snoopy am I going to meet today? But that was a quote from Charles Schulz as far as Snoopy goes, and there's so much truth to that. Now, we did have a couple of days ago, this was on the Charles Schulz Museum website on Facebook, that we had Linus Day, when we first had the first appearance of Linus in 1952. Which, if you forget, if you want to stick to the truth and the validness of the original comic strips, then Linus was a lot younger than Charlie Brown. If you look at this, he is Lucy's little brother, but he's pretty young. I mean, he's still in diapers when you first meet him, and they're trying to determine what his name starts with an L. Well, they don't really know their alphabet very well, but either way, it's an interesting story that Linus can be so philosophical and be the one who has the best head on his shoulders for anybody else, and he's really probably the youngest one, other than if you want to go into Rerun and other characters like that. He's one of the youngest of the crew. But at the same time, he can be so terrified of something that is non-existent. He can be just terrified of this thing called queen snakes. He can be terrified of something called a rock snake. So if you take him camping, if you take him out of his element, as we do a couple of times in the TV series, you do see a side to Linus that is irrational. However, most of the time, he is the one that's the most philosophical. In many ways, he's almost like the John Locke of all of the characters that are poured into Peanuts. But you have that other side of him where he doesn't have a harsh grasp on reality. When you put him out into the wilderness, it becomes a different story there. But I felt like that would be a good introduction to today's episode, since we do have Snoopy, and the debate has always been, is he the greatest of all the characters, or is it Charlie Brown? Well, you can't have one without the other. And in many ways, you look at some other things. I recently put out a video on my YouTube where I broke down an episode about the Andy Griffith Show. If you want to go watch my YouTube page, knock yourself out. But if you think about the contrasting characteristics of Andy Taylor, the sheriff, and Barney Fife, the deputy, that's why it works out so well, that the deputy is irrational and he's over the top. But then you have the wit and wisdom of Andy Taylor, who would come in as the sheriff with only the experience and reminds him how often this is a small town. Charles Schulz knew how to intertwine and weave all of that into the comic strip, especially with Linus. But in a way, he's the youngest of the group. It's almost like if you want to get into the biblical aspect, Linus could even be the Elihu of the story. If you don't know who I'm talking about, there's a story about Job and his friends. And his friends are just telling Job that he must have made God mad. But then Job is saying that there's nothing I've done wrong in this story. But finally, a young guy named Elihu steps in and says, okay, Job, you're wrong for putting God on trial. And you guys are wrong for putting Job on trial. That's not how this works. And not long after that, the Lord shows up. Quite an interesting story. Elias could easily be Elihu in the story of Job, but it just kind of ties that back in for Linus being younger, but his intellect being above anybody else, except when you take him out of his element and put him in the wilderness where apparently there's queen snakes, not king snakes, but queen snakes scurrying about. Or there's these rock snakes that apparently sneak up behind you and throw a rock at you, but they're not dangerous though. Because most of the time, they hit you in the lower part of your legs. Exactly. There's no rationale, there's no practicality to that at all that you normally find in Linus, which still shows the childhood brain that hasn't fully developed. So I'm glad you've been with me on the rabbit trail so far at this point. You're going to go down an even deeper one if you wait around on the second part as we get to the scripture of the day and we get into some shocking news that's happened in mixed martial arts as of late, and thank you for stopping by and listening to the show, Blockhead Nation. And here we go on to segment part two. Blockhead Nation, thank you once again for tuning into this episode of the Your Favorite Blockhead Podcast. This show is sponsored by KitCaster. Guys, did you know that having a podcast is a great way to grow not only your personal brand, but your business? Here's the secret. We all want to feel connected to brands we buy from. And what better way to humanize a brand than through sharing your story on a podcast? That's where KitCaster comes in. KitCaster is a podcast booking agency that specializes in developing real human connections through podcast appearances. Whether you're an expert in the field or you just have a unique story to share, it's time to explore the world of podcasting with KitCaster. Go to the link at kitcaster.com/blockhead to apply for a special offer for listeners of this show. That's kitcaster.com/blockhead. You'll find that in the blog, the notes for today's show. Let's get back to the episode. Our scripture reading for this podcast comes from Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I thank you, Lord, for the love that you show all in the Blockhead Nation and that you have clothed us in your righteousness. And I pray that we never take that for granted, that we accept Jesus as our Savior. His righteousness is placed upon us when we do. So that's my prayer to you tonight, Blockhead Nation. If you are listening to this and you are being affected by Fiona, I've been checking the updates on that on my weather app, and it's not looking good. So my prayers go out to all of you, and may you find refuge in the shade of God's wings in the midst of this storm as you ride it out. So as we get into mixed martial arts, I'm noticing a lot of you that listen to my show usually catch this the next day after I put it out. By then, we'll have already had UFC Fight Night with Mackenzie Dern. There might be something exciting that comes up about that, but I have literally put a screeching halt to most of what I was wanting to share this week just because we have breaking news for two fighters, and I have to get into it. I mean, extra, read all about it. We have almost heartbreaking but also completely understandable breaking news that Jose Aldo is retiring from mixed martial arts. Now, as I understand it, he just had a new baby, and there is, as long as Jose Aldo's been in, the veteran that he is for the sport, I've been wondering when he would make his exit. And that's not in any way disrespectful. I have nothing but respect for Jose Aldo's career. It's just a shame that most people don't even know who he is because of Conor McGregor finishing him in 13 seconds. But as far as being one of the best to ever do it in his division, you know, Jose Aldo cannot be overlooked. And that changes all of my thinking about what's going to happen within the rankings and who's going to take what fight now that he's stepping out of the picture. And I guess that means the next step is out of the USADA pool. And you got to understand also, as a fan, I can only do so much with the information that I'm presented, okay? When I have to weave my way through the dirt sheets of what's out there, because there's plenty of them. I think MMA Mania is very well known for putting out exaggerated stories. MMAfighting.com is also another one that I'm not really sure if I can trust its sources. Bloody Elbow does a good job of giving you the play-by-play. If you want a good analysis of what's going on in the fights, Bloody Elbow does a pretty good job of that. I personally happen to like The Athletic. I happen to like their approach to sports. But and then I go through that one. Low Kick MMA seems to kind of be dropping off. They're like the USA Today of mixed martial arts. And it's just kind of in between those. BJPenn.com is another one that I look to sometimes. And sometimes we're trying to figure out who's stirring the pot. But so many sources are pointing to that Jose Aldo has decided to make his exit. And I don't really know why. And it's not like he owes me an explanation. So while I'm sitting there chewing on that one, in comes more breaking news of a fan favorite from Fort Worth. Kevin Holland puts out in a tweet that he's been paid. He didn't take his gloves off and put them off in the cage. Neither did Jose Aldo. And he's wanting to make his exit as well. This one is definitely still up to debate. When you consider the source, Twitter is what are you going to make of it? But too often when it comes to MMA fighters, that's the fastest way that they can communicate. The more blunt they are, the more straight to the point they are, the more you can think, all right, there must be some validity to this. And we just had Kevin Holland coming off of a loss against Khamzat Chimaev, which makes my brain start to go in even more directions. Does he feel like he wants to step away from the sport just because he doesn't have the desire? Is there some injury that he suffered against Khamzat Chimaev that hasn't been disclosed to the sports world? Is there some other venture that he wants to go into? Because a lot of them are looking towards boxing these days. I think whenever you look at the numbers for the Canelo versus Triple G fight and realize how much you can really make in that world, which we will discuss here, that maybe he has been in talks with somebody else. Maybe he just needs to take some time off. He doesn't want to do it anymore. but within a few years will the urge come back? I don't really have a great answer for you, Blockhead Nation, except that I've been taking a left hook and a right cross by two people that are retiring from the sport. One that I can understand after many, many years of service and many years of fighting wars inside of the cage, but a guy who is on the rise like this, almost like Khabib, who had a 29-0 record, we're not even getting the 3-0 because he takes his gloves off and says that he has no desire to continue anymore. Kevin Holland has said via Twitter that he's done. And it makes me question. And I'm not the only one. So until further ado, until we can have more breaking news from our reliable sources, if there are any, my guess is probably when he gets, if he gets a chance to talk to Ariel Helwani on the MMA Hour, we might get somewhere with this. But we're just standing here with our finger in our ear for both Kevin Holland and for Jose Aldo. But Jose Aldo, I wish you the best. Fair winds to you. And my hope is that you can stay retired and be happy. I wish the same thing for Kevin Holland. For a young guy, but I certainly go, what's one missing piece of the puzzle that we don't have yet? And as far as the puzzle that is the bantamweights, I'm going to do a shift here and move to who the MMA machine wants to become the bantamweight champion. And I absolutely believe that it's Sugar Sean O'Malley. This guy has had almost the total package for a while until his jets were cooled when he faced Chito Vera. And the debate was coming out. I literally saw this off of the audio app Clubhouse, where they were talking about O'Malley becoming the next UFC champion. Is that what the systems want? It's very possible. Is it what a lot of the fans want? As many eyes come on the product when he is in the cage, it's hard to differ with that. But as far as for an MMA fan like myself, I have a feeling that Chito Vera might have something to say about this. But he's also got somebody standing in his way after a very close victory known as Corey Sandhagen. Are we going to have a matchup with those two? And then he gets a shot at the champion. We've got on Fight Island, Sugar Sean O'Malley against a guy who, I guess what's that phrase they use nowadays? They don't want that smoke. I have a feeling that the smoke coming off of Pewter Yan's soup bones is going to be a bit harsh for Sugar Sean O'Malley. But again, any given fight night when they step in the cage, as far as the reach advantage, as far as the long legs for the leg kicks, I can see there being an advantage to Sugar Sean O'Malley anytime that Pewter Yan wants to put pressure. But as far as the power and strength, you can't overlook that for Pewter Yan. So I believe that is up to discussion now. As far as shifting quickly into boxing to wrap this up for tonight, we avoided a travesty in many ways. We've already had two of them. I'm talking about Canelo versus Triple G. The first fight, even though we have a win for Canelo, you have a scorecard and a judge who should have been tested immediately for her judging of the Adelaide Bird. Then the second one, there's so much debate on who this could really come down to. There's no denying in the third fight, if you watch it close enough, that Canelo was just three steps ahead of Triple G. We should have had a unanimous decision, but we got two scorecards that could have easily turned this into a majority draw. If you think scorekeeping, leaving it in the hands of the judges, is dangerous in the world of mixed martial arts, you shouldn't dare do that in the world of boxing. Because too many people are getting food taken off of their table in this sport. And it's almost like we're playing a game of chicken and the scorekeeper swerved just in the nick of time. If this had ended up being a majority draw, or if this had been somehow Triple G walking away with a win, more and more droves of fans would have been driven away from boxing. and they continue to find more, quote, sunny days. And I'm not talking about a WWE reference. I'm talking about sunshine that Teddy Atlas is talking about. He finds more of that in the world of mixed martial arts than he does in boxing. Because where else is that man going to go when it comes to commentating? But either way, we avoided that. We have our clear winner, but in the eyes of the judges, it was close. We had a swerve. Could have been way worse. And I'll leave you with those thoughts tonight, Blockhead Nation, just because, again, I don't have great information on the retirements, or quote retirements, from Jose Aldo, and especially not from Kevin Holland. I still feel sidelined by this one. I'm still trying to rub two sticks together and give you some type of a roaring flame on my end. But when it comes to what we can anticipate down the road, we've got an awesome fight coming up at Fight Island at the end of October. You got a guy who I can't even believe is an underdog in Charles Oliveira versus Islam Makhachev in his backyard. Home cage advantage would probably go to Islam. However, never ever count out the Bronx. You got Peter Yan versus Sean O'Malley. And you know, we got so many good fights on this card. Moving into Madison Square Garden, you do have Michael Chandler versus Dustin Poirier. And guys, it still doesn't have a good feel to it. I'm watching an interview on DC and RC, and I'm looking at who is Dustin Poirier more irritated with. Is he more irritated with Michael Chandler? Or is he irritated with Daniel Cormier? If you watch the episode, it looks more like, in this interview, DC keeps trying to cut off Dustin Poirier every time he talks, and he's getting more irritated by that because Daniel Cormier is wanting to stir the pot because controversy sells. It's hard enough to sell his show with RC, who can barely carry the show on his end, who I feel like the weight of the shoulders are all on Daniel Cormier, so he's looking for any type of controversy to strike while the iron's hot. And we are left with a Madison Square Garden fight that still has no good feel to it. Maybe you see it. I don't. I saw the fireworks in Chandler versus Gaethje. I don't see it in Poirier versus Chandler. I certainly see it in Israel Adesanya versus Alex Pereira, who I believe will still be his kryptonite. And either way, thank you for sticking with me on this podcast. We have plenty to talk about coming up in the future for UFC and other organizations. Probably get into Bellator Ireland pretty soon. Until that time, be watching as I'm going to attempt to put out a new YFB MMA Takedown episode coming soon. Keep watching all the guys in the YFB network, and we will see you next Saturday. Same blockhead time, same blockhead channel.